The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, where sports betting lives. Live from Circa, VSiN, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube, TV. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9 alongside as well. So much more than a producer. What's happening?
Not much. I don't think we're gonna stay perfect in certain millions.
No, perfect season is over for
you. Perfect season's over, yeah.
I fell to a mediocre 3-2 with the Jets loss yesterday. We'll get to that momentarily. On the show today, Drew Dinsick will join us. I feel like it's been a month since we had Drew on.
I know. Guess
he just had his week before season, let me appease the wife week, so he wasn't on with us. That's what he said. I'm just making it on myself. That's what he said, right from his mouth.
It's a smart move.
Hope his wife's not listening. Later on the show, also, we will get into some Survivor talk. Have you taken a look at the old Week 2 Survivor slate?
Oh, yes, I have.
Oh.
Yes, I have.
Boy, this is a interesting week of Survivor.
Yeah.
There are no right answers to this quiz. I do not know what I'm doing, but it may be some kamikaze stuff here.
Oh, really?
Up. Oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm actually narrowed down between, really? Like, two sides already. Yeah.
Is one of those sides Indianapolis and your boy?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because before we do anything, it's interesting because the Colts are taking money. I know we're supposed to talk about the Jets and the Niners real quick, but the Colts are taking money, right? And the Colts are more than a 3-point favorite now against the Packers on the road.
It's three. It's been bouncing between 3 and 3.5.
Okay,
it's all like juiced 3.
Because I guessed 3 yesterday.
Yeah,
but and I get it, right? It should be 3. It's Malik Willis, obviously. That's built into the line. But this notion that it would go over the 3, right, starts to get into this territory of okay. The difference between Jordan Love and Malik Willis is great, because the look ahead was 5.
It was 5
in favor of Green Bay.
So it is 8-point difference.
So
you're talking.
Again, for the new bettors, right, or the newish bettors out there, a pre-flop line in a pro football game, the only players generally that matter to the point spread are quarterbacks. There are rare exceptions when another skilled position player, maybe a defensive player, will matter a 0.5 point or a point, you know, that kind of thing. But from starting quarterback to backup quarterback, these things can move massively. And obviously, it's also not static. Tom Brady, when he was the quarterback of the Patriots, if they had a home game against the worst team in the NFL, it was a different line movement. If he was out, let's say, if he was a road game against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, mm-hmm. right? So nothing is exactly static. But just to give you an idea about that, what's already an 8-point spread to the 3, right? From Green Bay being a 5-point favorite to a 3-point dog, which is where I guessed it yesterday. And by the way, administrative, parenthetical aside to an aside, administrative note, because a lot of people were asking, Mondays during football season, podcast form of the show is on the Beating the Book podcast feed, not on the Numbers Game feed. The rest of the week during football season, Tuesday through Friday, this show, podcast feed, a Numbers Game, Mondays, it's on the Beating the Book feed, just to let you know, because lots of folks were tweeting in about that. But that 8-point shift is akin to something like back in the day. I'll give you an example. When Andrew Luck was the quarterback of the Colts and he would be out and it would go to Scott Tolzien, that was the biggest shift in those days in the NFL, and that was 8 points. And so I understand Malik Willis, people have a question as to whether or not he can even complete a forward pass in this league.
Yes.
But if
yes,
Gil. But if you're getting past 8 points, we're getting a little mashugana.
We are right on the border of being a little wild.
You to say the word mashugana.
Mashugana. This is not a wildly big bet for me, but that is like, it is, I think we often throw out the phrase of what is a quarterback worth to the spread.
Yes.
But that's all dependent on what the backup situation is.
Well, in this case, I would argue, and I'm as big of a Jordan Love fan. Remember, I'm the guy who thought he'd be good right before last year. It's also kind of it's on both sides a little bit, right? It's not just the Malik Willis side of it. It's like, OK, we are all convinced 100% that Jordan Love is elite at this point also, right? That might be, and I'm a huge fan of
that might be flawed. Yes.
That might be true. It also might be flawed.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, if you go past the 8 and all of a sudden the Colts are like giving 3.5 or 4 on the road, I'm just saying we're getting a little shaky there.
Yeah.
So if people are gravitating towards that as a survivor pick, I'm just, oh, I know we're not having the Survivor discussion yet. I just wanted to get there with that.
Okay. I mean, I expect that there would be some sharp bettors out there on Green Bay catching a 3.5. Yeah.
We can come here on Monday, and by the way, it'll be like, well, Malik Willis couldn't complete a forward pass, and it should have been more than 8. You know?
Yeah, because you are, I mean, like, you're talking, that big of a difference in quarterbacks is about as extreme as you're going to see.
Luck to Tolzien was bigger than Brady to whomever the Brady backup was at any given time.
Yep.
So anyway, just as a historical comparison with how lines move anyway, sorry about that.
5 minute aside from the Colts.
Sorry about that. It's just sort of a stream of consciousness on the show. So the game last night, I will speak for myself, but I know I'm speaking for others. I could not have been more wrong about the New York Jetropolitans showing up for this one. Shout out to Michael Lombardi on the morning line, because Michael Lombardi yesterday said he was, I don't know if he was being delicate with his words or he was choosing his words carefully, but he definitely gave the vibe that Christian McCaffrey would not be a go. And as it turns out, we find out right before the game that Christian McCaffrey was out. Now, it didn't matter ultimately in the end, but it might have explained why the spread never bounced up on the Niners, right? If anything, it teetered on the 3.5 rather than going up from the 4, because I got that part wrong too. McCaffrey wasn't a go. Jordan Mason, who ended up having the game of his life. And when I say the game of his life, I'm talking about dating back to his high school days before Georgia Tech. 28 carries for 147 yards and a touchdown, as the Niners did anything they wanted to in a 32-19 win that, Kelly, the final score does not reflect how big of a blowout this was at all.
Not at all.
Cosmetic touchdown for the Jets at the end when they pulled Aaron Rodgers and put Tyrod Taylor in the game, or that's Tyrod Taylor, if I'm going to say his name correctly. Aaron Rodgers, 13 for 21 for 167. But the point of, I mean, first of all, one, Kyle Shanahan, anybody apparently could be in that backfield in his running scheme. No knock on Jordan Mason. Obviously, they're phenomenal beyond belief with Christian McCaffrey, but it certainly didn't harm them yesterday. Trent Williams, I mean, the handicap going with the Jets, part of it was, all right, Ayuk just got to camp. By the way, Peyton Manning murdering him for dropping that pass in the end zone, which I thought was a little over the top. It's like he was fully stretched out.
I didn't catch that.
Oh, yeah. It was just like, relax.
He had a couple drops, though, that I thought were a little uncharacteristic.
Well, that was the one that he really got into. But Trent Williams playing the first 65 snaps forget Pro Bowl form, his Hall of Fame form in this game. Purdy just had an easy time of it every time. Besides the first, right, the beginning of the game, it was 3-0 Niners, and then it was 7-3, and then 7-6. But besides that first sequence where the Jets had some hope, and remember that Jets drive to get a touchdown early was 3 third down and long conversions. By third and long, I mean 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 6, all to Garrett Wilson. Once the Niners figured that out, the rest of the game on offense, first of all, the Niners could do anything they wanted to on the ground. They outgained the Packers on the ground 180-68. And through the air, how many times was Juwan Jennings just wide open, or Kittle wide open, or Debo doing whatever he wanted to? And I would say even so, and Robert Saleh had that look every time they flashed the camera to him. You looked at Saleh and you're like, this guy has no answers. None whatsoever. Like, none. And then on the other side of the ball, this will be thrown around, mainstream media more than anything. Nathaniel Hackett with just zero creativity, zero, you know, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to try to, yeah, the run's not really working. Let's see if we can think of anything. No, nothing.
No.
Yeah, it was a brutal, but.
So, yeah, were you more impressed with San Francisco or more disappointed in New York?
Well, so this was going to be my question. What is your take? Is your takeaway? Because, you know, I immediately parles the Grover Cleveland producers, Jeffrey Parlay, our buddy. He's a Jets fan. And so I immediately texted him. I was like, all right. And I think he had the proper response, which is what I was trying to get at from him, which is, you know, it's one game. The Niners are still great. Like when we did our power rankings, I know San Francisco was my number one NFC. I can't remember if I had him number one overall. I'm as big of a Niners guy as anybody. But in this particular situation, based on their offseason, I was like, okay, well, maybe the Jets getting the points here is the move. That didn't work at all. But is this just one game where it's like, okay, well, the Jets, no one would have been surprised if they lost by 4, right? Yeah. So, okay, you lose one, you lose to a great team. Is this a bigger cause for concern, or are you, in the Niners' case, it's just ho-hum, move along. They're what you thought they were, even more perhaps. So I don't know Or is the Jets' time to panic already, I guess is the question.
No, I think it's a little on both sides. So like, the way I'll describe it with okay, if you're a Jets fan, Jets backer, I look, it's disappointing. It's not a great start. It's not what you were hoping to see with Aaron Rodgers back, no. Right? But there is plenty of time left in the season. It is one game. I think that's the way you need to look at it. Plenty of time to freak out in the coming weeks if it continues to look this bad, right? I think for me, as someone, we went over those NFC power rankings last week, and it was kind of Lions, Eagles, 49ers all in the wash. I don't really know if I have one that's clear cut above the rest right
Niners.
Now. Niners. I think last night it was Niners saying, hey, we're still the team to go through
in
the
NFC. I don't know how anyone ever took the scent off the Niners being number one from my perspective, but I certainly had the Jets yesterday. That proved to be ridiculously dumb.
I mean, the only concern, right? The only concern you obviously come away from if you're a 49ers fan or backer is just, okay, well, what's the deal with McCaffrey going forward, right? I mean, how long is this going to linger? Right? How big of an issue could this be?
I also want to say this, too. So we saw in week one, you had Aaron Rodgers, you had Kirk Cousins. Neither were spectacular. Mm. By the way, Aaron Rodgers should stop smiling through a game, by the way, that they're getting crushed in. I just want to point that out as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe relax with you're so cool, you're above all this. But the whole thing with the Achilles, like I know some people are going to be like, I don't know. Neither looked really great with the coming off the Achilles. I think both, and we documented it yesterday on Guessing Lines, how unimaginative Zach Robinson's game plan was with the Falcons. Literally every formation they were in, you knew exactly if they were going to run or pass. And then with the Jets and Hackett yesterday was as unimaginative as possible. So I don't think you can, anyone jumping to the Achilles conclusion should not. Like they were both Cousins and Rodgers in circumstances where their offensive coordinators just didn't do anything for them.
Agreed.
Yeah. Anyway, you end up with your millions. I ended up 3-2, but you had a 5-0 and a 4-0-1.
Four and one.
I don't know if you
know. 4-0 with the Jets riding last.
You're 4-0-1, and you're 4-1 both, looking good after 1 week.
God, I was hoping for a 5-0, man.
Maybe you
That's
should
so
be
rare.
Maybe you should be thinking about the quarterly already, Kelly. It's within reach. Drew Dinsick on the other side. His thoughts on football next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With the NFL underway, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Make this football season your best ever with full VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard. Pardon me, to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits, betting systems, 24/7 video access. Grab our football season special. Get full VSiN Pro access from now through the Super Bowl. For just $175, you start a monthly subscription for just $9.99 and see why VSiN Pro is your ticket to a winning season. Do not wait. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up and start betting smarter today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I made that for the New England audience. Just in case they needed a translation. By the way, Kelly Bidlin struggling today with the buttons on his shirt. It should be pointed out. So he's doing this duress.
I'm dropping, Kel. I'm going. Yeah.
So he's going a little more comfortable. He's going a little butterfly, and Kelly Bidlin showing a little chest hair, everybody.
I love this shirt, but it's the worst second button shirt, man.
Our ladies demo just shot up in the air. Nice job. Please butt that. this guy has himself a suntan. He did the whole week before NFL season with the wife up in wine country. But he got back, of course, for the NFL season. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. He's the host of Not One But Two podcast, The Deep Dive with Andy Molitor, and of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. It's Drew Dinsick, everybody. How you doing, Drew?
I'm doing well. It's great to be with you guys. I hope everybody had a very successful week one. And I feel like I'm somewhere new. This isn't the D. And you know what? Actually, good thing you're not at the D. The ladies would be catcalling Kelly at 7 in the morning with the Bud Lights. Yeah.
You have no idea, Drew. None. The D. Noted Kelly Bidlin magnet place.
Yeah, we'd have to wake him up first, but yeah.
So I guess, first of all, the question is, and I'll ask just the generic one first, from a betting standpoint, from just a football viewing standpoint, like what's your biggest, I won't say your biggest takeaway from week one. What's the thing you saw juxtaposed against your preseason handicap where the light bulb sort of went off and you're like, okay, I at least have to pay attention to that. I might've been wrong about this.
Okay. Well, my two higher conviction things, I felt like I got positive reinforcement with what we saw, which were the Houston offense is going to be a problem for everyone. And the Seattle defense has signs of a quick turnaround. And then basically everything else, I think, played pretty much to chalk. There were five question marks at the quarterback position that we got very uncertain to negative answers about, that are kind of concerning from like a quality of the product standpoint. So
I like to hear this. Yeah, let's list.
Yeah,
those.
Well, I mean, start with Burrow. Like, we hadn't seen Burrow since the wrist injury. He pretty clearly looks still hurt to me. That matters a ton for the purpose of like, can his wrist heal if he is throwing the ball 30 times a week?
Good
and
point.
Also, like, the bigger surprise for Burrow for me was the way that the end of the game was called by Zach Taylor felt like he didn't really understand that Burrow was limited.
So right? You said that he didn't understand. I pointed it out.
It felt like it, yeah. He was drawing up brilliant stuff to get guys wide open, like in the intermediate deep part of the field, and Burrow just didn't pull the trigger. And that was spooky.
I pointed out that punt that they decided to go with, you know, fourth and five in their own territory was questionable to begin with, right? I was like, are they sort of capitulating on this? But you're saying something different. You're saying about the game plan itself.
Yeah, it didn't necessarily feel like I've seen game plans set up where you're expecting your quarterback to have an ADT of like 3 yards, which Burrow was kind of in that ballpark for a lot of the game. And that didn't feel like one of those game plans, really. Like most of the stuff was sort of release valve as opposed to like, hey, we're setting up some quick short stuff for you here, buddy. He was not under pressure. The Patriots played defense fine, but it wasn't like that was like a masterful defensive performance from the past, as on the rewatch in particular. So Burrow not being healthy and carrying this wrist injury is a huge, huge concern.
Great point. Let me just throw in, because you might be too cool for school for some folks. ADT, average depth of target, is what Drew is talking about. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes. And his ADOT. The air yards were a concern for Burrow. And this week, like this, that would be the best game on Sunday would be Chiefs Bengals. And now I'm like, Bengals are kind of on the outs there.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was one of the five. The other kind of obvious one was Kirk Cousins, and everybody's going to note this because the tape on Cousins was it didn't feel like you were watching an NFL football player out there. He was that statuesque. And I guess if his, you know, if his plant leg is a problem and if his mobility is that in question, anytime they go up against meaningful pass rushes, the Falcons are in absolutely, you know, brutal spots. And again, like games that I was excited to see, let's see Falcons play the Eagles, see the Falcons play the Chiefs. Like, well, now those games are kind of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a bit of a bummer. And honestly, like, you look at the, you know, what was the most talked about thing about the Falcons in the preseason was like, oh, their schedule's so easy. It's so easy. Well, actually, now that you look at it, and if the Saints and the Bucks have like pulses, then this could turn into like a very bad season for Atlanta, which really complicates what in the world do you do next year, right? So Atlanta is absolutely sort of like the drama team to watch, without question.
Also, when you're in the shotgun, don't throw 100% of the time, and when you're in the pistol, don't run 96% of the time, or whatever those percentages were. That doesn't help either.
Yeah, but it kind of felt like they were hamstrung. Didn't really have like a choice in terms of doing anything to create misdirection or obfuscation at all. Like they were just, it was just sitting duck statue stuff. And that's a problem for today's NFL with as good as the defensive linemen are out there, but as athletic as they are, particularly when you go up against one that has, you know, elite athletes like the Steelers. So that was pretty concerning. I was on the right side of this one, so I quietly enjoyed it. But Deshaun Watson might be just like done.
Maybe.
I mean, it's sketchy to draw that type of conclusion from one game. But we saw him drop back and pass a lot. He had happy feet, miserable mechanics, like looked like he had not, like he was still kind of learning to play the position of quarterback, which is absurd. And it was, again, against one of the more violent defenses in the NFL that had a pressure rate that was just absolutely ridiculous. But it's not like the reinforcements are coming this week for the Browns offensive line. Like, it's going to take a while for that unit to come together and gel. And like, I would actually like, I'm starting to wonder like how many starts are we actually going to see from Watson here before they're like, yeah. You know, we still have a team that's built to win. We went to the playoffs with Joe Flacco last year. Like, we can't sacrifice our season just because we're paying Watson. And that is a fascinating question to see how that organization handles the, you know, the quarterback position, because I don't think that the glimmer of hope that you had that Watson was just going to turn it around seems to be fading to the point of like almost laughable that he's going to be anything better than a top 20 or than like 20th best quarterback in the NFL. And even being the 30th best quarterback would be an improvement based on what we saw. So, Watson was wild.
Not to keep interrupting your flow, but I mean, you're right. One game you don't know, because how much of that was Dallas just having ridiculous talent on defense, right?
Sure.
And having to deal with Micah to begin with. But you know, the mechanics thing is a great point. And I immediately, as you said that, I think about RG3. The underrated part about RG3's career is, again, ridiculous rookie year, won the rookie of the year over Andrew Luck. The hope was eternal. But then, of course, in that playoff game, he blows out his knee. And when he came back from the injury, his mechanics had gone to crapola. So it wasn't just the injuries, right? There was something about having not played for a while or just rehabbing, whatever it was, that he just kind of forgot to play quarterback. And so what you're saying with Watson is sort of similar to that. That's the guy that it reminds me of in that respect.
Yeah. There are not that many examples you can point to of a guy who just like forgets how to football. But it did not feel like Watson was even the same human being that we saw in Houston for so far, almost every start I've seen him make in a Browns uniform. So it is very bizarre. And their decision making about what do we do with the quarterback position, considering how talented the defense is really fascinating to me. And then the other two quarterbacks who, you know, were just wildly, you know, like there was some question, how are they going to look coming off of an ACL? How is he going to look under a new system? Well, Daniel Jones and Bryce Young are not it. And I think I'm going to make a case for one of those quarterbacks this week. Actually, I'm going to make a case for both of them. But they were both pretty atrocious. And, you know, it's so I guess my major takeaway was the upside from the quarterback position, the promise of hope, the preseason.
Yeah.
We haven't played a game yet. Who knows?
Yeah.
A lot of that went flying out the window with what we saw. And the ones that like concerned me the most surely are the health stuff. And I guess to go back to, you know, your preseason expectations, I thought Pittsburgh was absolutely sitting ducks. I thought they were trash. I looked at the second half of the schedule. I'm like, this is absolute, they go to schedule hell around Thanksgiving. Well, now I look at it and I'm like, you might have a 3-game stretch of Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Jake Browning, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. That doesn't sound as scary as, what I was thinking. And, you know, so not again. Like, absolutely. And by the way, the Steelers offense was as bad as I expected, but it didn't matter. Oh, yeah.
And of course, you didn't even mention any of the rookie quarterbacks who obviously didn't prove anything week one. Drew Didzik's week two thoughts on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. So many tweets. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Where do I begin, Kelly? Where do I begin?
I'm distracted by a graphic off screen. What is the, did you know what the Purdue Stadium is called?
No, I did not.
Ross Aid Stadium?
I did not know that.
Okay. Learning things every day.
This is from Steve Bilo. He says, Gil, I hate the Bills, Alexander, but I still love the show, he says. I do not hate the Bills just because I think Miami should be a 3-point favorite.
If we've made anything clear this summer, it is my overwhelming love for Josh Allen. I can't get there on that side this week.
Let's see here.
Did you crush the Bills any more than just saying you liked the Dolphins this week?
No, not at all. Okay. The Milk Gallon, thank you for the forgot to make my pick segment yesterday. That's why I play in one fantasy league, make one survivor entry, and play in one pick'em league. Got stuff to do. He didn't say stuff. And other things on my mind. I'm amazed at the people that do 10 of each. How do you have a life? This was in response to, because yesterday I was saying I was surprised by how many people, not only on this network, but others, talk about how they're so surprised that 46 people didn't get in their $1,000 Circa Survivor entries in week one. And I'm not surprised because people have lives. And I do think we're way too close to the sun as people who are so like immersed in betting that it is very possible that some people bought an entry 2 months ago and then, you know, life happens. They got kids. 46 isn't that many.
Their priorities are just way out of whack, Gil. I like married, children, like, what are you doing? Come on. Obviously, priorities in life should be your sports betting contests, okay?
Let's see. This is from, let's see. Oh, Jason H11, Thunder from Down Under's newest headliner, Kelly the Ginger Ninja.
Yeah.
There you go with this.
No, I'm just going. I'm going outside to, what do they got? The Chippendales guys out there, right? you ever been to Thunder Down Under? I've been there once. I got pulled into that show once, yeah.
Sure you did.
Sure you did.
Pulled in.
That's the one in New York, right?
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. I've been to that.
The Better Life. Tim Lawson, if there's one thing I've learned about betting the NFL, it's that I'm not very good at it. Russell Ambrose, one of the best Cleve TA, had a great tweet regarding Rodgers before the game, and the Achilles helped influence me to the Niners side. Although I bet it -4, and Schefter drops the CMC news at 11 minutes afterwards. As someone who has ruptured two Achilles, I don't think it's going to be an issue moving forward for either of these two quarterbacks. I don't. The reason, if the teams falter, it won't be because of that. This is from, let's see, Kenneth at 913. As a Saints fan from Fresno and the first one to talk trash on Carr, I don't think enough is being talked about his performance Sunday. Even though it was against the Panthers, Carr was throwing deep, scrambling, and looking like a new quarterback.
Okay.
All right. Jason H.
I mean, nothing he said there is wrong.
No, nothing. Yeah, but it's still
the
against
Panthers,
the Panthers,
man. Yeah.
Jason H. 11. Last night, Joe Buck waxed poetic about the dynamic kickoff, and they showed the landing zone. And then the opening kickoff is blasted out of the end zone, and he transitions right into, and it's a touchback. Trip Tepper. The NFL propaganda machine labeling the new kickoff as dynamic is peak gaslighting. This is akin to the soccer TV analysts telling us a 1-0 or 1-0 snoozer is a spectacular display of sport. It is a spectacular display of sport.
I can't remember which it was in the NBA, but I felt like it happened with the NBA last year with like the in-season tournament too, where it was like either the NBA Cup or the in-season term, they weren't calling it that before the season. Then we rolled into the season. It was like all of a sudden.
Remember the whole hip drop tackle thing? We haven't heard about that yet.
Was there not a single call week one in that? I believe there was not a single one.
I don't even remember them being in the preseason at all. Los Vegas 514, yo, Mark Mosley and Chip Blowmiller, love it. Was waiting for a Sean Sweesum and Max Zedejas mention, classic kickers. Rick Olier, hey guys, sitting here at the D playing Sigma Derby, and Coach Pierce just walked in, punching his fist together, saying, "Where's Gil?" over and over. Just a heads up. You're not kidding.
Michael, be waiting by your mailbox later.
Michael Burns, could teams be figuring out the Dolphins' offense this year with plenty of tape now and another offseason? I'm keeping my eye on this.
That a couple times during the offseason. I don't know. I'm not going to do that dance yet. I think Mike McDaniel is that good
it's
and that smart.
Perfectly reasonable.
But there could absolutely be some of that.
She prop bets. Was thinking about the Commanders for Survivor, but the last segment with Drew threw cold water on the idea. And DJ Southern Gent, I enjoyed hearing Will Capper wax poetic about the low-key pains of NFL Red Zone on his podcast. I'll add to it, when they show a touchdown replay for a player, you bet anytime touchdown, but you know that they're showing it only because it was called back.
Yeah, there's a flag coming.
And then finally, before we get to some other stuff, Buddhist Man, he has Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock. He has put lyrics to your chest hair. Ladies love him. Girls adore him. And then he keeps going on with that. with the plunging neckline. He continues with that. We'll get to more of your tweets here coming up. I want to say this, Joe, quickly about, again, college football versus pro football. And I know we have hours of content, not only on this show, but on the network to fill. And so we're going to talk about every single NFL game and our thoughts. And we're going to talk about it, you know, every which way that we can. But the truth is, when we come to live betting, which is what a lot of us actually do on Saturdays with college football, on Sundays with the NFL, I just want to say this again as a PSA, which we've said a number of times, but haven't in a while on this show. There is no similarity between them at all, and that college football will always remain the best in-game betting vehicle there is, because games reveal themselves quicker than they do in any other sport. You bet the NFL is Plinko. It is largely Plinko. And I get it. There's going to be some games that aren't, but a huge percentage of the games are Plinko, meaning the tribute to the old Price is Right game, where the silver disc or chip, you know, bounces from rung to rung and then quickly goes in and lands in a slot. And based on your ATS, based on against on the spread, it's going to just end up there at the end based on one player or another. But college football, you take I was hanging out with Todd Wishnev, Jeff Barlay joined us at one point, Chrissy, Jimmy, and Vinny were there too. We're watching college football all day on Saturday. And again, you just take a Texas Michigan game, and you can, if you know nothing about both teams, either team, nothing, and you just watch a few drives. It's not going to happen in every college football game, but in so many of them, in a way that it doesn't happen in the NFL, you could just tell. It's like, oh, Texas is going to run this team off the field. They are just they're men against boys. And no problem with Michigan. You won a national championship. You went 15-0. You had it. Maybe it was not going to work out this year. Texas just looked so much better than it was so apparent you could keep pounding Texas in that game and get away with it. You can never do that in the NFL. College football also. One of the things that has been very clear, you know, if you are a former NFL coach like a Bill O'Brien with Boston College, like a Jim Mora Jr. at UConn, who both coach, both O'Brien and Mora Jr. coaching in the NFL, if you're way up on an opponent, you tend to call off the dogs in the second half. You tend to actually do the NFL equivalent of kneeling on it at the end of a game. So many of these college coaches who have never coached in the NFL are this, you know, this machismo college coach. If you want to stop us, you better do it on the field kind of thing. We're going to run up the score. That's a college football coach. And, you know, like Lane Kiffin has no compunction scoring as many points as humanly possible. So there's all these college football things that are so much cleaner in terms of a handicap. Whereas, again, the NFL, by and large, you can't get away with that. So, again, I just want to say that about sort of handicapping of PSA about college football versus the NFL. And the other thing I do want to point out, because I heard about this all on sports talk or mainstream radio and even on this network as well, which is this notion that even Notre Dame losing to Northern Illinois, that if they ran the table, by the way, they're not going to run the table. They still suck and it's not going to come to this. But I'm just saying the hypothetical that if they ran the table and ended up 11-1, that they were not going to get in the college football playoff. There are so many people who seem to think, oh, they'll definitely not get into the playoff because they lost to Northern Illinois. They will 100% get into the playoff if they go 11-1. This is like the dumbest thing that I keep hearing. They will 100% get into
it. Well, because also you would think the, not only will the narrative change, but it likely would change on the field of the team looking better, right? But, like they look way better than they looked in week two when they lost that game.
And also it's Notre Dame. So everybody's going to bend over backwards. Yeah. Oh, it's Notre Dame because they get the benefit of any doubt always. Anyway, that bothered me as well. Last undefeated, last winless, which you had the Patriots for last winless.
Yep.
I couldn't advocate taking any other team. I had the Jets in a bet for last undefeated. That went by the wayside, but the whole handicap was they got to beat the Niners. It didn't happen, so that goes down. Now, Panthers 3-1, Broncos plus 450. This is for last winless. Panthers 3-1, Broncos plus 450, Titans plus 750. Do you have a bet here?
I don't have a bet.
A recommendation.
I do think there are. I think the Falcons schedule makes this interesting. Where you could take a piece of the Falcons.
Now you want to bet them last winless after you loved them all offseason.
Well, no, but hear me out. Hear me out. Yeah. You could take 20-1 right now and then revisit this market in a couple weeks because they've got a couple tough games upcoming.
Okay. Yeah, they have two coming up, but then it's
right.
Yeah.
So like, you give it a couple weeks. How many more teams then are still on this list? Odds are going to shift. That was the biggest thing that jumped out to me on this one.
What about last undefeated, where I always, when I talked about the Jets, I said if it wasn't for the Jets' strategy, by the way, where are the Giants on last winless? Why are they not up there on the board?
They were.
Okay. Whatever the Giants' number is, I think they should be the short shot. So I would actually advocate a Giants bet last
winless.
They
were second, right behind Panthers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. And then last undefeated, I think the Lions at plus 650 are the play, given schedule. So I would, if you're asking me, I would go Giants last winless. I would go Lions last undefeated.
I wrote down Eagles before I went Lions. I think Texans is interesting too at 10-1. Man, I think that Texans team's good. I think they ran into a better Colts team than people realize last year.
Led by not the number one pick in the draft, CJ Stroud. I'm not sure if you're aware.
Oh my God, that's going to be so tough this year.
That's going to be fun.
Bryce Young going to make it through this season?
Who?
Bryce Young, you're going to make it through the season.
You mean not get benched?
Yeah.
No.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, after these shenanigans on the Numbers Game, stay tuned to VSiN for Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni. I've been trying on adjectives, Stormy. The fabulous Stormy Bonatoni and former NFL player Jeff Schwartz at noon Eastern. Right after this show, then stick around for Prop Points with John Hansen starting at 2 p.m. Eastern, followed by Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4 p.m. VSiN all day long. That's what it's all about. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Just so many today. Master of Puppets talking about Christmas games. My thought is, if I can make it to those games, more than likely could be a chop-in play, right? It could be, unless you have someone who doesn't want to chop. And again, what I like about your tweet is that it just reminds me to say, the disclaimer is, I know it will sound arrogant to a lot of people who are like, wait, you're thinking about Christmas on week two? How ridiculous that you think you're going to be alive. You have to think about
it.
The object is to win, so you have to keep it in mind.
I actually think that's the, like, one of the best examples when you use the argument of what is Survivor really? You know, Survivor to actually win. And if you're not thinking about winning this thing, it doesn't matter. What are we doing here? So you got to think about Christmas.
What are we doing? That's right. James Sott, I think it's crazy. I'm just as excited to listen to baseball talk and tennis talk thanks to you guys. NFL always, of course, but love all the talk now. Thank you, James. That means a lot to me.
Hey, thanks, James. I try to break down the baseball as well as I can every day for you guys. It's one of my priorities.
Kelly's big on baseball and tennis. He's big on that. Good friend Chillionaire. Good friend Chillionaire every day with the Austin Wells and Caps. He's all about he's all about Rookie of the Year Austin Wells. Yes, we talked about his 3-run homer, and then he always ends by saying long shots.
You know what's funny? I hear that promo so much more now. It doesn't jump out to me like it does to other people.
It's called long shots.
Chris Heath. He just drops it in there subtly.
Chris Heath wondering if there's guessing lines walk-up music. I thought he was so much more than a producer. We'll see if he's got his own guessing lines walk-up music coming up.
We do. It's exactly the same. The graphic just says Kelly instead of Gil.
See how he said that? He's like, graphics is kill instead of kill. Ice cold gambler. I'm sure this is the last day he wears that shirt around you. Yeah, he can't wear the shirt. He just got to button it up.
Did you see my response, though? And I think you said something about this yesterday. We're like, okay, so for as long as Gil and I have ever done shows together, we've never been this close in proximity. Right.
It's a little distant.
So it's like he's like seeing the pores in my face sort of thing. Like, we're that close, you know?
Or the hairs on his chest.
Or the hairs on my chest.
Xavier 82, if you want a truly radical idea for this week's Survivor play, if you have more than one entry, take one on the Washington Commodores and one on the Giants. This saves you from using the Chiefs, Eagles, Texans, Cowboys, or Ravens while not using the Chargers. Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to, but no. Brandon Kyles, hearing you two strategize this early in Survivor for the holiday weeks makes me feel glad that I'm in a traditional pool. Play it safe with the Ravens and give it another week for the pick on teams to expose themselves. Yeah, that's why Circus Survivor is so hot.
I just think this week is really fascinating with that. So, like, if you are falling in the camp of, like me, of I'm going to look to fade three specific teams, you don't really get an opportunity this week.
Chance Copperpot chimed back and he goes, wait a second, did I just hear Gil tell Kelly to button up his shirt?
Thank you, Chance. I wasn't going to say, but thank you.
Does this look buttoned up or not? Matt Bowen, he says, oh, Uwe von Schaman just entered the chat. I don't know the other kicker that you mentioned there, Matt. JC, Niners rookie right guard Dominic Pooney, he says, is godsend. Completely changed the whole O-line for the Niners last night. Jamie Leyva, I can imagine Kelly walking around arms to the side and try not to be so chesty. I love this show. Don't get a complex Kelly. I prefer a confident Kelly with a pronounced arm swing, preferably with a falcon. Have a great day, gentlemen.
Oh, man.
And Roger Jones, now it all makes sense. Plunging neckline, waxing on about Taylor Fritz, and now thunder from down under. You go, Kelly Bidlin.
Yeah, hey, was Buddhist Man back at the beach in Mexico with the Hawks again? Or, did you catch that last week, or over the weekend? He was sending us all the pictures again.
Yeah, I don't know if that was present day. I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, that's more what I was asking. I couldn't remember if those were saved or if that was present.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's what you've all been waiting for. College football guessing lines with Kelly Bidlin.
What you got, Wyatt? We're back for another season. Before Gil kills it because I'm getting too good at it. That's what happens.
Oh, is that what it is?
Did it become boring because I was sort of too close?
No, it didn't. No, it was because you used to do five of them. And
we
the,
did five.
And the joke gets a little weak at the fourth.
Wyatt Tomchek always has the major influence here. Therefore, there's always a UNLV game because, you know, he went to UNLV.
Wyatt Tomchek about a second too late on that college guessing lines hit right there. When we introduced it, it was like a second late.
Oh, is that Wyatt's fault?
Yeah, well, isn't it?
No. Oh.
I love Wyatt Tomchak. I'm just saying. All right. UNLV, because Wyatt, I don't know if you know this about Wyatt Tomchak. He is the play-by-play broadcaster for the UNLV women's basketball team, and he does other UNLV sports as well.
I was going to say, what else? I don't think Wyatt's back.
He does volleyball.
I was going to say, I think he does volleyball as well. Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah. There might be more.
Women's basketball for sure.
All right. UNLV at Kansas. UNLV at Kansas. This is Friday night at 7 Eastern.
UNLV. Not bad at football, Gil. That's what I learned in my research of this, okay?
That's right, not bad at all.
11-4 ATS their last 15, 7-0 ATS their last 7 on the road, 10-4 straight up in their last 14 going back to last season. Not a bad team. Kansas came into the season. I'm pretty sure they were ranked. Lost to Illinois 23-17 last week? Mm-hmm. That's ugly. Illinois not good at football last time I checked. This was tough. I think Kansas still has to be the favorite. Oh, revenge spot, by the way. Hashtag spots. Revenge spot.
Yeah.
These two played each other in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Got this note from Wyatt Tomchak, where Story Bonatoni was on the sidelines for.
Oh.
Yeah, we're just bringing it all full circle. So I'm going to go.
Very, very thorough analysis.
I try to do my research for these. Yeah. I'm going Kansas laying 4. I think they still got to be the favorites. But watch out for those running Rebs this week with the upset. That's what my research tells me.
Well, apparently you've got value on UNLV because the number is, I want to say it's 7, right? Yes, 7 on the Jayhawks. So you've got value on UNLV.
Might be taking some points with UNLV. I like it.
Power
like
Rebels, according to Kelly.
All right, where do you want to go next?
I don't know.
Oregon versus Oregon State?
Sure. Oh, let's do that.
Oregon versus Oregon State.
Oregon versus Oregon State. Oregon at Oregon State.
Yeah.
Used to be a Pac-12 football game.
No, it used to be a Pac-12 football football game. Confirmed, Oregon has moved to the Big Ten. Oregon State, I had to double check on because I was like, wait, Gil, they didn't go to the Big Ten. I'm like, where did they go?
Wazoo and them got left behind.
I'm like, they're one of those teams that got left out, right? I was pretty sure about that. I was happy to confirm that I was correct. They have been left out. Okay, Oregon was supposed to be really good, right? Oregon State, though, they've been sneaky good, but DJU there for a while. A lot of that was behind him. Oregon's 17.5-point favorites against Boise last week, 1-3. Only a 10-point win over Idaho earlier. Got to be some concern for Oregon here. I think the spread, I'm going to guess preseason this was like 28. I'm going to go Oregon as a 17-point favorite in this game. They have to be knocked down a bit after these first 2 weeks.
That's a pretty solid guess right there.
17.5. Sorry.
Yeah, you don't even know your own guesses.
I had 17 written down initially.
And the actual line is? Look at this. Look at you.
There we go.
There you go.
All right, 16.5.
I would never cancel your segment for you being good at it, although it kind of loses its shtick, but yeah.
I wonder what nice job. I don't know what the look ahead line was on that game. I kind of want to know now. Have you watched much Oregon?
I have not.
I think I saw like one drive, but like just looking at those results, not ideal. Not great, Bob. All right, to the ACC we go.
By the way, Bob, speaking of Bob, Dr. Bob, he was on fire, 5-0 this past week with his best bets, 2-0 on this show. Whew. All easy peasy, too.
Okay.
I should have played. Oh, Maryland at Virginia. Oh, this used to be a great ACC basketball game back in the day. It ain't that right here.
I got extremely frustrated that Wyatt gave me this one. I have no idea how far off I am. Maryland, I think they're supposed to be pretty good. Virginia 5-12 in their last 17 games. I don't know when Maryland got good, though. Had to be after Tua's brother left and all of our Heisman tickets on him. I'm going Maryland laying 8. I have no idea how close or far off I am on this one.
Whoa, there was no analysis given in this game?
As far as I went down with everything, I just threw it all out the window, Gil, and said Maryland has to be the favorite. I'm going over a touchdown.
Maryland -8 is Kelly's guess. The actual line is Maryland -2.5. So
okay, so
a lot of value on the Terps, according to Kelly.
Does Virginia still have that quarterback from last year? Did they have like a pretty good quarterback?
Who are you referring to?
Virginia. You don't know what I'm talking about. I got to look up the depth chart.
Do you remember our Talia Tagovailoa bet?
It was
by
a
the
great
way?
Run. For me, it was like an hour.
Still the greatest bet we've ever made on primetime action, which lasted a day and a half. We had him at long Heisman odds, and then he went out and threw three interceptions the first
time. Gil made such a compelling case for him. I didn't even bet him until, because wasn't it a Thursday night, like college Thursday football night, game?
Primetime action.
Gil gave such an impassioned case for it that I tailed along like an hour before kickoff.
Oh, sure. Blame me.
And like then like the first play was like a pick six or something, it felt like.
Great moments in primetime action history. The greatest show that was ever canceled. 200-1 it was, and it went to like 2,000-1. Bet accordingly. That has been College Football Guessing Lines with Kelly Bidelon. Nice job, Kelly. Well done. All right. Stormy is next with Jeff Schwartz. Enjoy. Good luck with Survivor. My biggest takeaway from this show is, good God, week two in Survivor, my God. Especially if you have the circa Thanksgiving and Christmas quirks. Good luck with all your bets. We'll be back tomorrow right here. Stormy next at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.